Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live, once again, not from the SBTV studios, but here where we can at least feel safe and self-isolate a little bit. And for the next hour, we will be bringing you news about WrestleMania, as well as a review of last night's pretty thin Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, before we get started on reviewing Monday Night Raw, let me say this. Last night, early afternoon, actually, I watched Roman Reigns' Instagram video, where he basically said that he's been called a coward, he's been called a wuss, he's been called worse because he's decided to pull out of WrestleMania when, quote-unquote, others in just as much danger or just as older than him, far older than him, have decided to go ahead and do it. And it really bothered me because if that's really people's attitude, and he said, look, it's not just about me. It's not just about the fact that I might have a weakened immune system. You don't know my situation. You know, I may have elderly people here. I may have somebody in my house that's pregnant or whatever. I'm doing it not just for myself. I'm doing it for other people. And that it was a difficult decision to make. So, you know, coupled with the fact that I got a lot of emails saying, I don't know why you're so down on WrestleMania. I don't know why you're saying there's no way that this should take place. You know, if they test the people, if you can walk through a Home Depot filled with people that you don't know, why do you think it's okay? It's not okay for two guys who are tested by medical professionals prior to getting in the ring to getting in the ring and doing their job in a place where there's no audience and no variables and no one who hasn't been tested. Why do you think it's a bad thing? So, you know what I did in the interest of fairness? I said, look, okay, you know what? Maybe you have a point. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk to a friend who knows someone who is a medical professional in New York City and works at a hospital. And I'm going to have him email me, and I'm going to ask him. I'm going to flat out ask him. So my question to him was very simple. Given what you know currently, what would your decision be about holding WrestleMania, even if all the participants are tested, there is no audience, and it's in a controlled situation? And he didn't hesitate 10 seconds before writing back, it's a horrible idea. And then he elaborated and said, here's what you have to understand. A lot of these wrestlers are young and healthy, and maybe if they get it, it's not going to be a big deal. And if there's nobody there who's not young and not healthy, maybe it's not going to be a big deal for them either, or maybe it's not going to be a big deal for anyone. But you have to understand that a good portion of young, healthy people who actually have this virus are asymptomatic. They don't show any symptoms. They don't have a fever, so checking for a fever is pointless to a degree. They don't have a cough, so saying if you have a cough, you have to go, it's not the live all and die all. They have no symptoms. He said it's becoming increasingly obvious that there are a certain percentage of people, mostly young, healthy people, who for whatever reason that we're attempting, I guess people are attempting to find out, have a sort of an immunity to this in the sense that they get it, but it doesn't do anything to them. They don't even know they have it. Their immune system just sort of fights it off and they don't think anything of it. They don't get the sniffles. They don't get a fever. They don't get chills. They don't develop a cough. They don't have a sore throat. They don't have a headache. They don't have anything. but they can pass it on to someone who does not have that in their immune system and cause horrible situations. Because he said there's also, and I found this more fascinating than anything else, he said there are also now, they're working on a theory. So it's more than a theory, it's a fact. They're saying the problem with this virus is if your immune system is too good, sometimes your immune system immediately attacks this virus with such a ferocity, it starts to damage your lung cells, it starts to damage your kidneys, it starts to damage whatever. It literally makes your body, your own immune system, attack your body. And your own immune system is what kills you. So this virus really isn't what's killing you. What's killing you is your body trying to fight this virus off and destroying your body along with the effort. That's what's giving people pneumonia. That's what's giving people all the issues, the lung issues. So it's not that, oh, I have a horrible immune system, so I'll be... But also, if you have this weird sort of percentile where you have a heightened immune system of some kind, it can potentially be dangerous. They have to find a way to actually slow your immune system down from attacking your body. So he said, just because these guys are walking into the ring, I don't have a temperature, I don't have a cough, I don't have any symptoms, means nothing. Means absolutely nothing. Doesn't mean they don't have it. Doesn't mean they're not carrying it. It only means they're asymptomatic. And they may never feel sick and they may never have a problem, but that doesn't mean the person they're wrestling won't. So, this is a medical professional from the heart of this pandemic in New York City, and this is exactly what he said. So you guys take that for what it's worth. If you think WrestleMania, I know that Triple H came out and made the statement, our fans stood by us all year, and for this reason we feel it's vitally important in this dark times to bring a little enjoyment and entertainment to whatever. Yeah, please, please spare me. And what do you think their medical professionals are going to say? We highly advise against this, and then they'll just be released from the WWE? Of course not. They're going to say, we got this under control, we're fine. I'm going to take this guy's word for it. I'm not going to tell you what hospital he works for, but it's not in the heart of the pandemic, but it's right near it. I mean, the whole city's basically the pandemic. It may not be in the real eye of the storm, but it's just outside the eye of the storm, and they got plenty of cases in their hospital. And his exact words were, it's a horrible idea. A horrible idea. So before you go, calling Roman Reigns a coward, I think actually you've got it backwards. See, because I think what's happening here is there's a lot of WWE guys who don't want to say no because they're afraid. And I think that some of these people who are wrestling on this card are guys who are saying, I can't afford not to. Now, there are exceptions. I'm sure Brock Lesnar could afford not to if he wanted to. I'm sure The Undertaker and John Cena could. But I think they sort of consider themselves as, well, we'll go down with the ship and the company if we got to, and we'll take every precaution. That's fine. But there are people who don't want to do this. Don't believe me? I'm just going to ask you one question. Where's Drew McIntyre? Last night was our go-home, or I should say stay-home show. Where's Drew McIntyre? He don't want to do this. He's going to do it because it's important to his career. He doesn't want to. Where's all the rest of the guys that are saying, I think I'd rather just set this one out? They don't want to do it. They're doing it because either they feel they owe the company, or they don't want to miss their payday, or they feel I can't say no, or I'm going to be punished regardless of what is said. Now, having said that, the following things have happened. The Miz is home, apparently sick. Now, there's conflicting reports. Well, he wasn't really that sick. He wasn't really... I don't know what's going on. All I know is that Roman Reigns is out, and from what I hear, he was out when the Usos discovered that the Miz was coughing and displaying some symptoms, and they said this is not a good place for him. They talked to him, and he said, yeah, I'm bowing out of this. They're still going through with it. But from what I hear, the Miz did not. The Miz went home. Buddy Murphy is home and self-isolating, and from what I hear, is sick. See, some people are self-isolating and they're not sick. Rey Mysterio, from what I hear, is self-isolating, but he's not sick. Being cautious. Dana Brooke, I'm getting different reports. Some people say she was sick. Some people say she's not. I don't know. But I do know that an awful lot of people are choosing to stay home until at least their WrestleMania. I mean, you're bringing up guys from NXT who are saying, Jesus, I'll do it. I'll risk my health just to get up here because, and look what they're doing. Every Raw and SmackDown now, you're seeing people, you're like, who? Because, you know, the top people, they don't want to do it. They're like, I'll chance it once for WrestleMania, but I'm not, it's like going to the store where you say, I'm only going to go once every, you know, couple of weeks. I'm not going every day. Well, that's what the WWE stars are saying. I'll go, but not every time. So there we go, folks. From a medical professional in New York City, his exact words, it's a horrible idea. So let's not be too hard on Roman Reigns, who actually is braver than everybody else, because guess what? He may have given up his chance to be the champion. Because if you think Roman Reigns is coming back the week after WrestleMania, what's the difference? He's not coming back. He's not coming back until this thing is long over. That could be months. You may not see Roman Reigns until June. If then. And a little later on, we'll talk about where WWE goes after this. Are you going to continue to just have shows with no audience and pay-per-views with no audience? I mean, you might be able to get away with it with WrestleMania because it's so many important matches, but how are you going to do build-ups for matches and things with the fans? And how are you going to do this? This is not going to be easy. And the WWE is fast, thinking, what are we going to do from here? How are we going to figure this one out? We can't put on a show as it is. We have to show matches from other places and just have a couple of two-second squash matches, so there's not much contact. You can't continue to do this. Fans aren't going to watch it. The only reason they're watching now is A, out of curiosity, and B, it's a build-up for WrestleMania. As soon as this WrestleMania thing is over, it's going to be like a whole different world. Whole different world. So, Mike, there we go. I mean, straight out of the horse's mouth, a doctor in a hospital in New York City who I was able to get access to for an email tells me in no uncertain terms this is a horrible idea. Are you there, Mike?
I am here. Okay. And I agree with that doctor. And basically, I agree with Roman Reigns. What you said about Roman Reigns. I mean, and if we get him at the end of June, which would probably give him a short build for whatever they would do at SummerSlam with him. So, I mean, I agree. And look, I agree with what Buddy Murphy did. He's either come down or not feeling good, or he's fine. I'm going to go himself do this. And all the guys and gals that did that, I agree with them. You know, if you're not feeling well, and look, the doctors that work for the WWE, if you're a doctor that works for the WWE, you kind of dodge it at some point and other points in terms of what they've done with steroids and all that stuff, whatever, you know. But their first goal, a doctor's first goal is to what? First, do no harm, right?
Right.
The Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. And if you're a doctor that's working for the WWE and you're telling them they're okay to wrestle, you're eventually going to do that gal or guy a harm, you know.
I agree. But of course they're going to toe the company line because they feel that they have to. So let's get a little bit into first off, yes, I agree with you 100%. Like I said, Roman Reigns did the right thing. If anybody thinks Roman Reigns did not do the right thing, I don't know what you're smoking. I really don't. And for anybody to call a guy, now I don't know. I'm only going by what Roman Reigns said. Maybe he's exaggerating. I don't know the man. I know what he said in his Instagram video, and he said he was called a coward by people. For anybody behind a keyboard to write to Roman Reigns and call him a coward for canceling his WrestleMania, when this man went through leukemia treatment and came back to wrestle, you must be an absolute moron. Okay? You must be an absolute moron. If you doubt his love for the sport or his dedication to it, you must be stupid. Anyway, from what we hear, obviously, the match has already taken place. All the matches are already in the can. And from what we hear, there were some more changes that were going to, and some surprise matches and things that this is like a fly, catch can, fly by night type thing. I mean, they've got the main events and that's fine, but they're shuffling around. We saw last night, of course, Zelina Vega say that Andrade suffered a rib injury, which I'm told is legit, but that's what you would be told. So is it possible that when he found out Rey Mysterio was sick and or self-isolating, even if he's not sick, he said, well, you know what? I'm not doing this. It's possible. It's also possible he suffered the rib injury. I don't know. I went back and I watched that match. I don't see him acting like he has a rib injury. I see him really giving a potato to the guy with that back forearm or that back elbow. I see him really decking Cedric Alexander with it. But we'll see. So we start with The Undertaker, who I guess is doing more of the American Badass, or even if maybe not that, maybe he's just doing Mark Calloway. I don't know. But he gave a really good promo. The one thing we have to say about this time period, Todd, is the promos have greatly improved when there's no audience. The promos have actually proven to be better when we don't have to deal with the fans.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, he says, bring Gallows and Anderson with you. And one of the funny lines, he says, for not on my ass right there. I sort of laughed at that at that part right there. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, listen, they've all done a great job. Edge cut a great promo in this episode. Kevin Owens cut a great promo in this episode. This promo work is better this way for a couple of reasons. Kevin Owens was in the ring and it was one shot. So I suppose they could have taken take two if they needed to and we wouldn't have known it, but it's supposedly live, so I don't know. But The Undertaker, he could have had a 20 takes if he wanted. Edge, he could have had 20 takes if he wanted. It's much better, and I hope the WWE learns from this and says, you know what, we're going to do a lot more of these promos where the audience can watch it on the Titantron, but it's not going to be dead center middle of the ring because this is way better this way. Edge's promo was outstanding. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise. He's an actor. I get it. But at the same time, a great promo sometimes puts a slant on things that you didn't think of. And for Edge to say, look, here's the deal. It's not that you want to save me from myself. It's that you're jealous. You're jealous because you don't have that passion. You rode the coattails of your dad through your whole career. Sometimes you showed flashes of brilliance. You know, sometimes you, when you were engaged in what you were doing, you showed great flashes of brilliance, but you're just easily distracted, easily bored. You'd rather just be that guy who's good enough. You don't want to put too much effort into it. When you do, you're brilliant. When you don't, you're still better than most, but you're coasting. And the only time you didn't coast is when I was around, because I lit a fire under your ass and I made sure you didn't. And a lot of this stuff strikes true to wrestling fans, because we've said Randy Orton, when he feels like performing, is actually pretty good, but he doesn't feel like performing all that much. And so to us, this had a ring of truth where we're saying, yeah, that's absolutely correct. Randy Orton does coast a lot through his career and says, it's fine. Let me just take the money. I don't care if I'm the champion. I don't care if I'm in the middle of the main event. Just as long as I get my money, I'm fine. I thought that Edge struck a really good point with that, Mike, and I thought that his promo work here was excellent.
The only thing I thought that was missing from his that promo was him saying something to the effect of, you know, you're a 13-time champion, and you could have been John Cena. You know, if you had the real fire, if you had a complete fire for the sport, you could have been John Cena. In other words, you could be the one to break Ric Flair's record if you had the fire. And that's the whole point of that's the whole point of him using that word grit. You know, you don't have the grit. You don't have the want to at times to get the job done, to be that guy, to go down in history as that guy that did that. You know, you're just
right. And the deal is, none of these seem scripted. That's what made them so good. None of these seemed like they were reading it off a cue card or they had to hit bullet points. All of it seemed like they just said, go out there and talk. Go out there and do what you need to do. Get your point across. And boy, everybody did. Even Kevin Owens. And what I'm most proud of, and we all should be proud of it here on this radio broadcast, is Kevin Owens, when given the opportunity to say what he wanted to say and not what was scripted for him, said exactly what we said he should say. I mean, to the word. We said, if Seth Rollins is going to say he's a messiah and he's a god, Kevin Owens has to say, I'm going to prove you're not. And the way I'm going to prove you're not is I'm going to beat you. That's exactly what he said, word for word. Could have took it right off this show. So how can we argue with that? I mean, that's exactly what he should have said. That's exactly where this should have went. Now, I feel sorry for Seth Rollins because his entire gimmick has fallen apart. Buddy Murphy's in self-isolation. He ain't coming out no time soon. They say 2 weeks, but, you know, come on. If he's actually sick, it could be a month or more until you see Buddy Murphy. One half of the AOP is injured. He ain't going to be around no time soon, 6-8 months. The WWE has now already said, we're not going to show the other one because there's no point. If you don't show one, we're not showing the other one. So he doesn't have a crew anymore. He's just back to being Seth Rollins, and he doesn't have a crew. I don't know whether they're going to give him a different crew, or I don't know what they're going to do. I feel bad for Rollins because at one point Rollins said he really didn't want to turn heel. That he thought, you know, I have a lot of momentum coming off my win with Brock Lesnar and all this, and I hate to throw it away and just become a heel. But the Fiend thing kind of dictated it, and he felt that it was mismanaged, which we felt it was mismanaged too. Paul Heyman cut a great promo. All the promo work was good. Asuka came out, had a very brief match with an NXT worker, and then had another hilarious segment where she just screamed in the microphone. And, you know, Asuka, again, we've said it on this show 3-4 times. She's having a lot of fun. She's making the most of it. And I'll tell you this, excuse me. Secretly, there are probably a few wrestlers probably pretty happy that there aren't any fans, because I think they figure, look, it's hard for me to get over if everybody's just like ignoring me and there's just crickets in the audience, or it's hard for me to get over if I'm shouted down or people start chanting boring or CM Punk. But with no one there and I can make all my points and hit, you know, all my bullet points and do what I can do, maybe I'll get through to some fans at home and they'll say, oh, that was great, you know? So I think there are some wrestlers who are saying this could be an opportunity for me. Not the real famous ones. They like to play off the crowd because, you know, Drew McIntyre comes out and there's a huge roar that helps him. Brock Lesnar comes out and there's a huge roar that helps him. But some of the other characters, I think, some of the more minor characters probably are like, this is my opportunity to sneak through the back door of this. Now, how are you going to keep Asuka a heel? I don't know. I don't know exactly. I think she told Michael Cole to shut up, or it wasn't Michael Cole. It was whoever it was, Tom Phillips or whatever, told him to shut up. That was funny. She's a very, what's the right word for it? She's a very outgoing personality. If you let her, she reminds me a lot of Rusev. Where, you know, she came in and she was like this silent assassin who just crushed, kill, destroy type person. And then when you kind of let her be herself or himself, you found like this sort of outgoing, fun-loving personality that you really wouldn't have thought was buried in there. And I think Asuka's finding it. I think what Asuka's finding is the American style of wrestling, where she's saying, if I can be myself and be this outgoing, bubbly, excitable person, that's cool, because I don't have to hide behind all the smoke and mirrors of this character. And I think she's starting to be more like herself and a little less like the Asuka from NXT, and I think she likes it. So you may have something there in the future. My thought is that you're probably going to have to flip her after WrestleMania, Mike, because I don't think a lot of people are going to boo her.
Right, and it's going to make it even more important to see what happens, because we know, one, that Kairi Sane may or may not be happy, but she hadn't signed a contract yet, I don't think, and they're going to have to drop those titles. Okay, now if they keep the title, it could be one of these things that if they keep the title, then that tells you that Kairi Sane signed, and she may be dragging Kairi Sane into being a face along with her. But that we'll have to see what happens with Sane's contract. But yeah, she has a charisma now. She has there are people that have a face charisma, and there are people that have a heel charisma. And right now, the way things are going, she's got that face charisma, and she's got it going really strong. And even without the crowd, I mean, it translates over the TV. You know, it translates.
It does, Mike. And I'll tell you something else, which is the weirdest, I think, thing about Asuka, is when she was this undefeatable, nobody's ready for Asuka type, she rubbed people the wrong way. And she was supposed to be a face. And she rubbed people the wrong way. Now that she's sort of beatable, and at times maybe even a little bit of an underdog, you find yourself rooting for her more. It's almost like the best thing that happened is that they just said, you know what, let her be one of the girls. She doesn't have to be the second coming of Ronda Rousey, who's unbeatable. Let her just be one of the girls. And I think people will root for her. I think they're right, actually. I think Asuka's got some big things coming up. I really do. I think she could find herself back in the main event picture really, really, really quick. Because she now has a different sort of charisma. Before, she had that mysterious sort of badass, nobody's really going to fuck with her type charisma. And that wore down. And it actually ended up being sort of almost like heelish in nature. But this, I don't know. It's working. And I think that, you know, if something works, you got to ride it a little bit. So we'll see what they do. So there really wasn't any matches to talk about. Asuka squashes someone. Aleister Black squashes someone. I don't even know. Some people were telling me Bobby Lashley actually had that match with Aleister Black. I can't see how. Anybody who came back from a foreign country, they said you have to self-isolate. He came back from South Africa. I have no idea how Bobby Lashley was able to wrestle that match. I just don't know. So we'll see. By the way, for the people wondering where Rusev's been hiding, Rusev posted on his Instagram, he shaved his head bald. I don't know what the hell's going on. He hasn't signed his contract as far as I know, and it's up soon. I don't know, man. At this point, it wouldn't shock the hell out of me if he didn't sign. But I'd like Rusev to remember one thing very clearly. The fans that you yelled at when we said this angle is dead end and it's going nowhere and it's going to leave everybody worse for it, and you said that was not true. Who wins that argument, Rusev? I knew this was going nowhere. I knew this was going to be a train wreck, and it's exactly what it became. An absolute train wreck. So Aleister Black polishes off a enhancement talent. And our feature match, we get to also see Brock Lesnar and Rey Mysterio. But our feature match, from a long time ago, obviously, our feature match, six-man tag match. And we have the Street Profits and Kevin Owens against Seth Rollins, Angel Garza, and Austin Theory up from NXT to take the place of Andrade, who Zelina Vega explained is injured. This match bothered me for two reasons. Number one, Austin Theory blew his debut. A, he was a non-factor. B, unless I'm very wrong, and I don't think I am, he totally blew a spot with Montez Ford, where he jumped completely out of the – he did a complete 180 out of the ring, and Theory wasn't where he belonged, and Ford just crashed and burned. There's no way you're going to convince me that he said, I'm going to jump over that thing, and without you even breaking my fall, I'm going to land on that steel rampway. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Not with WrestleMania, you know. Well, I guess he already shot his WrestleMania match. But anyway, I just don't believe it. I think Austin Theory was out of position, and he crashed and burned. That's what I think. But then to add insult to injury, you have to pin Garza. Theory's just coming up here right now. Just pin Theory and be done with it. You had something really great in Garza. See, Garza's going to get hurt by no fans because it was the fans who were pushing Garza. It was the fans who were reacting to Garza. It was the fans who were understanding that Garza was something special. And without those fans to play to, Garza was an expert at playing to those fans. Remember I told you, some people it's going to help and some people it's going to hurt. This is the type of guy it's going to hurt. Now, Austin Theory could help. Half the people don't know he was probably out of position. He didn't get the who are you treatment. He didn't get booed or ignored. So the WWE doesn't have that instant reaction. But unfortunately for Garza, who was getting really good crowd reaction, whether they booed him or they cheered him, he was still getting good crowd reaction. That hurts because the WWE don't see that now. They just say, oh yeah, Garza, he's one of the, you know, whatever. So this kind of taping could hurt some of these people who rely on the crowd to actually convince the powers that be that maybe we got something here. Can you imagine Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out and doing his Austin 316 thing to no crowd response when he was the ringmaster? It was that huge ovation when he said it. It was that huge crowd reaction that made everybody sit up and say, wait a minute, did you hear that crowd pop? Maybe we got something here. Let's let him come out and do it again, see what happens. And bam, a star is born, right? Well, Garza was on the verge of that. I'm telling you, Garza was on the verge of that. And this could hurt Garza tremendously. Same thing with Kevin Owens, because the fans were getting really behind Kevin Owens. And it was convincing the powers that be, well, maybe Kevin could be a really top guy and a big major fan favorite. The fans were in, but now with no fans, people, Kevin Owens. So I don't know. The match itself was okay. I think it was a horrible mistake to have Garza take the pinfall. And I do think that Austin Theory was out of position, because I cannot believe that the guy from the Street Profits said, oh, I'm going to do a spot where I'm just going to dive over the top rope and you just move and I'll just crash to the goddamn steel stairs, Todd. I don't believe that.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said with Austin Theory, he looks like he was like out of place, like what I'm doing here. Like you said, he should have took the pinfall, the Austin Theory.
I think so, too. But, Mike, I don't know if you caught that, but did you, at the time when you were watching it, did you think to yourself the same thing I did, which was Theory was supposed to break his fall and wasn't where he belonged?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that, too. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you could have. Now, I don't know if you could have used somebody. I mean, maybe you could have plug and played somebody else in that situation, you know, because obviously Theory's really young. I mean, what is he, 22, 23 years old, whatever he is?
Right.
I mean, he's really young, and he's really green, you know. And there are older guys that nobody that watches the that are in NXT, that other guy that nobody on the big that watches the Big Show has seen yet, but they've been around a while, and you could have used one of those guys. Now, what they were going to did they go to them and say, well, you're going to do this, whatever, you know? And they said, no, possibly. But again, yeah. And as far you're right about having no audience hurting Garth, because what was the big one of the biggest parts of his thing was running up to a woman in the audience and what, kissing her, right? And because of this social distancing and no audience, that's out the window, you know?
Yep. Absolutely. Some people it's definitely going to take a toll on, and he's one of them, because I think the WWE was really surprised. In his debut, the crowd was dead silent. They were like, who is this guy? And within 2 minutes, they were booing him. They were jeering him. He was aggravating them. He was getting crowd response. And everyone was saying, whoa, wait a minute. Check this guy out, man. He got over. He got over in 2 minutes. Crowd's really, you know, after his ass. And then a strange thing happened. And he started to get like that weird sort of Eddie Guerrero charisma where fans were like, he's the bad guy, but we sort of think he's cool. And then he started doing the thing where he let the girls come up and kiss him and stuff. And there was a big crowd response. And I'm saying they're going to make something of him. And they've went from that to, no, you just get pinned. There's no audience and you're getting no, you know, there's no reaction to go by. I think it's a mistake. I think it's a big mistake. We'll see where they take this. But again, a long period of time with no audience is going to hurt Angel Garza, in my opinion. We should also note, it has nothing to do with Monday Night Raw, but AEW has announced they're going to have the TNT Championship. They're naming a championship after their television station. That'd be great if they move. And they're going to hold a tournament. And it's going to be every week on television, the brackets, and then it's going to culminate at their next pay-per-view in May. If there is a pay-per-view in May, I don't know. I don't know what to say about AEW at this point. I mean, let them do what they want to do. Is this the time to hold a tournament and stuff? I don't know. It's either going to be brilliant because it gives you some filler for TV time and things, or it's going to be ridiculous because you're not getting any crowd reaction. It's going to look dumb. So I don't know. I don't know which one it's going to be. But to say we're culminating at the big pay-per-view, well, you don't even know if there's going to be a big pay-per-view. So hold your horses. You've already canceled one. So I'm not sure where they're going there. So what did we get in this Raw? Well, not much. I mean, for a go-home show, which it technically is, they couldn't do much. Asuka showed up because, for whatever reason, Asuka lives, I think, right near Orlando somewhere, or in Orlando. So I guess she can make it pretty easily. And even she kind of had that feel of, well, I'll go in there, but I'm not going to go in there for 20 minutes. You know, give me an opponent I can take out in a minute and a half without much super physical contact or sweating. And, you know, that'll be fine. So, really, match-wise, we got nothing. We got the debut of Austin Theory. I didn't think it was a great debut. We got one of Angel Garza's first flat-out clean pin losses, which I think is a mistake. We did get a couple of really good promos. In fact, every promo on the show was really, really good. Really, really good. So I can't complain there. And these promos actually did more to make me want to watch WrestleMania than the actual matches. So if there's a lesson to be learned, I guess the lesson to be learned is the promo packages work better when it's quiet and there's no audience distraction. But boy, wrestling doesn't. When you're actually wrestling and there's no feedback, there's no crowd reaction, there's no whatever, this does not work. It just does not work. I don't care how professional you are. I don't care if you hit every spot. It doesn't work. It just doesn't. And they're just not going to be able to go on like this. So how do you grade a Raw like this? I don't know. I'm not sure you can. I guess it's just average. I mean, you know, it's C, I guess. Maybe even a B+ because of the promos. But it's hard to grade. It's hard to grade anything in this kind of an environment. But what I'm more interested in even than the grade is, where do we go from here? After WrestleMania, the night after WrestleMania, the Monday night, it's usually the wildest night of the year. Fan-wise. WWE loves it, plays to it. There's not going to be any of it. And I don't even know how many matches there's going to be. And then you're staring down the barrel of how do we set up for our next big show? How do we set up for whatever's next? Was it Money in the Bank? How do you set up for something like that? I don't know if you can. I really don't. I don't know if you can. If you do, it's not going to be the same. And here's what I do think. I think the WWE is now running the risk, and it's a terrible risk. I think the WWE is running the risk of losing a lot of fans. Because when fans become disinterested, there were a lot of fans who were sort of disinterested anyway in the product. There were a lot of fans who were disgruntled fans. I don't really like WWE anymore as much as I used to, but I watch it because there's a couple of people I like. But now that it's being isolated like this, and it just doesn't feel the same, those fans are more likely to say, this is where I jump off the ship. So the WWE's got to work twice as hard. And what is their solution to this problem? Are you ready for this, folks? They are going to debut a show on the WWE Network in which they use 2K20, the most broken, botch-filled, disastrous game in the history of video gaming, probably. And if you don't have the game or haven't heard of the game, there are times when you literally will, like, throw a person off the steel cage and they just walk across the air. Because the computer doesn't detect that they've been thrown off something, so they're just walking on midair. There are times when you got Roman Reigns in the ring fighting somebody and out comes Roman Reigns to interfere in Roman Reigns' match. This game is busted, broken, considered one of the worst games in the history of video gaming. So many botches in this game, so much bad programming in this game that the developer said you can have your money back. Take the game back and get your money back. And they are going to use this broken game. Are you ready for this? Because I didn't believe it. I thought this was a joke until they actually announced it. They are going to let the computer simulate dream matches. Roman Reigns versus The Rock. Except it's going to be the game playing it. the game's Roman Reigns against the game's Rock, and the computer will just fight it out while professional announcers announce over this. It sounds like a joke. It sounds like something a little kid would do on a YouTube channel. That's awful. That is awful. Now, if you said we're going to have the wrestlers play them, hey, we're going to have, it would probably be Xavier Woods from the New Day and maybe Kevin Owens, and they're going to be at their house or whatever, but they're going to play online and we're going to show it. That might be fun. You have them in the little windows down below in their comments as they're actually playing the game. That might be fun. But to say no, we're actually going to set this up for the computer to play it and act like it's a real wrestling match and actually have real commentators comment. I don't know what to say. I mean, if you're that desperate for programming, it might be time, Mike, for them to just, wrap it up.
Yeah, it might be very well time for them to wrap it up. And like you said, I mean, this is not the show we've been, wanting on that. If you're going to do this, and by God, you take Xavier Woods' show off of the internet, off of YouTube, and put it on the network.
Right.
If you're going to do this. Okay? That would make more sense.
It would make a lot more sense. People would watch it. I'd watch that. If Xavier Woods said, we're going to hold a tournament, and each one of us are going to pick a guy, it's not going to be ourselves. It's going to be a legend. Somebody's going to pick Macho Man. Somebody's going to pick Flair. Somebody's going to pick Ho, whatever. And we're going to go through this tournament. And we're going to see who the greatest wrestler of all time is, or at least who the greatest player is. I'll watch that. Especially if you have the little windows with them commenting and stuff. And it'll be fun. Yeah, I'd do that. But not just, let's watch a computer battle out two game characters while real announcers try to act like it's real. Can you imagine how embarrassing that's going to be? I don't know. Todd, that just does not sound like a good idea at all to me.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it sounds like a terrible idea, actually, and having these similar games and everything, have guys pick out legends and try to have real announcers announce a botched game like that. Forget it.
I mean, this is something you do in your house. If you're bored, you say, let me see what would happen if, Ric Flair fought, I don't know, whoever, Roman Reigns. But the bottom line is, that's just for your own entertainment. You don't broadcast this on television. Tell announcers who, went to broadcasting school, you got to call these things. I hope the game botches on live TV, so they have to call it. I hope Roman Reigns interferes in Roman Reigns' match and see how a professional announcer is going to call that. I hope somebody goes to throw somebody out of the ring and they just walk across the air. I hope that happens. I hope the game fritzes out where it just makes the person shake like they're being electrocuted in the corner for a minute at a time, so they have to reset the game, because it would serve them right. It would serve you right. You pitch this idea to me, the very first thing I'm going to say is, let's do this, but let's do this with actual real wrestlers playing. We have gamers. We have a lot of gamers in the WWE, so get together 8 gamers. Tell them to pick their favorite all-time wrestler, and that's the guy that they're going to represent. And we're going to have this on television, on the WWE Network, and that'll be fun. I'd definitely watch that. But I don't want to see a computer throw punches back and forth while announcers saying, oh, and there's a horde, we're left to, oh, God. I'm going to watch it because it's going to be a train wreck. I'm going to watch the first one because I can't wait to see how embarrassing this is. It's going to be plenty embarrassing. This is how the WWE creative is trying to get around things. Rather than to just say, here's your job. How do we best utilize the actual wrestlers on our payroll at a time when most of them can't actually get in the ring and wrestle? That's your job. Well, There are many ways. What do these wrestlers do as their hobbies? Well, let's see. AJ Styles and Xavier Woods and a few of them other guys, they're big gamers. Can we get some kind of game tournament going on? We know Elias does music. Can we maybe get Elias to go in studio and do like 3 or 4 song little concert or something? Can we get a workout routine from Sheamus or some of these other guys? Can we maybe, any of these people know how to cook or know how to do whatever, maybe we can get, so whatever they do, can we get a couple of segments where we say we're going to show you the wrestlers outside the ring and the things they like to do? Maybe that's a good idea. It's better than let's just play a game. Everybody's got the game. Everybody's got the game, can do the same thing themselves. This is the thing that I don't understand. So if you got 2020, why would you tune in to see who's going to win between Ric Flair and Roman Reigns when you could say, I could just do that right now myself? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I do know the WWE has got a big task ahead of them, because once WrestleMania is over and that Monday show is done, the Monday after WrestleMania, they got to begin a build-up for a pay-per-view. They have no idea if it's going to be in front of a crowd or it isn't. I would likely say it probably isn't. Because already we're hearing in New York, April 30th is a maybe date for letting businesses go back to work. And then, as the president said, it's not going to be every city. It's going to be a little at a time here and there. This is something that could carry on for the whole summer, folks. Let's be realistic. And even when it doesn't, I want you to ask yourself a question. If you're young and healthy, your answer is probably yes, unless you're very cautious. The minute this is lifted, are you going to run right back out to the most crowded place you can? Are you going to say, oh, man, good, they said it's safe to go outside again, let me run to a wrestling match in front of 80,000 people where I'm shoulder to shoulder with some guy I don't know? Most people are not going to do that. A tremendous amount of people are going to say, okay, it's over, but I'm still going to be very cautious for a while of avoiding crowds, big crowds. So it's still going to be a disaster. That's what you got to understand. People aren't going to automatically, the light switch goes on, everybody go pack the Meadowlands. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen little by little by little by little. So you're probably talking for the rest of this whole year before things get back to normal. And the WWE's got a daunting task ahead of them to try to keep you entertained. And I'm not sure they can do it. And with what I'm seeing for the creativity, I'm very, very worried. It may be time to actually sit the wrestlers down and say, what do you guys think? Anybody got some ideas of how we can put on some product? And, aside from just the 1 or 2 wrestling matches we're able to do, because, Mike, if all they can do is 1 or 2 squash matches and maybe 1 feature match every week, how the hell are you going to set up other pay-per-views?
I really don't know. And, you know, the thing is like you said, you got Xavier Woods' thing that you could actually move from his channel to the network for the games in the company. And hell, the thing that Asuka does, yeah, she's taking her life in her hands or whatever by going out and doing it, but basically what that thing is a one-camera reality show. Shoot, that's what that
right.
is. You're telling me that you couldn't put that on a network?
Well, you know what the funny thing is, Mike, is they say, well, you know, YouTube, it's not a really good judge of how many people watch. Well, I don't know. I realize that if you watch twice, sometimes they count it twice. But the bottom line of the situation is when I go to Asuka's channel, when I go to Xavier Woods' channel, they got 1.8 million views. SmackDown's not getting it. So what do they got to lose?
What do they have to lose? And look, if you're gonna go to wrestlers that and say, well, we're having trouble because of the virus and all this stuff, being creative. Well, there are very, very creative guys. I mean, I guarantee you, if you went to somebody like, I don't know, Bray Wyatt and see, and say, all right, we're having trouble because of this virus. Can you help us out in creative, you know, being more creative? I guarantee you Bray Wyatt would do it.
Yeah, listen, you're going to have to rely on this. That's my theory, too. You're going to have to sit some of these wrestlers down and say, what is it that you guys think we can do? Any ideas? Let's pitch them. Pitch them. What do we got? Is there a way we can do a 20-minute funhouse every week with, you know, extra content? Is there, you got anything, anybody got anything that we can come up with that we can do other than a few wrestling matches? Because this is going to be tough for the next month or so, 2 months. My prediction is this. By late May, probably the WWE wrestlers will feel comfortable enough to put on 6 matches a show, 7 matches, if that's what they want to do. But the audience still ain't going to be there, I don't think. I don't think the audience will be back until June, maybe even later than June. So really, they got about a month, maybe 5 weeks, to kind of stall. Go ahead and pull the trigger, see what you can do. You may find that you get an emerging star out of this. You never know. You never know. The guy you least expect may have some charisma or talent outside that ring that people say, oh, wow, you know. Put it this way. No finer example than I was not a big Asuka fan. I've told you that. When Asuka came over here, I said, if she doesn't come over as a heel, who's saying that I'm better than all American women wrestlers and nobody's ready for me, and that's a heel thing. If she doesn't come over as a heel, this thing is going to die, and it's going to die quickly, because the first time she loses, it's done. And was I right? I was absolutely right. And at that point, I said, Asuka's a throwaway now. I see nothing in her that's going to make money for the WWE, nothing. Then I watched her YouTube channel, and I said, where's this Asuka? This is the Asuka that we should be seeing. She's very likable. She's very energetic. She's very outgoing. She's very fun-loving. Where's this Asuka? And now they're starting to show it a little bit, and people are starting to say, hey, I like this. So maybe, and that's exactly what you did with the New Day, by the way. You just took the New Day, and let them be sort of themselves with a little, you know, turned up to 10, but still. And people felt it. People felt, well, that's real. I don't feel like they're characters. I feel like that's kind of them, because it is kind of them. And it worked. So maybe you got to do this, WWE, because at this point, I don't see any way you can set up for your next pay-per-views and make this anything dramatic. Now we got one more thing to talk about. We're going to be running a little overtime today, and that is, what do you do with your championship? I mean, they've already done it, and we don't know for sure what has happened, but I can't see it remaining on Goldberg if you're going to maybe have to wait until June or July to get Roman Reigns back. That's a long time. So do you give it to Braun Strowman? To be honest, Braun Strowman's career is not what it should be right now, and Braun Strowman as a champion is probably not a good idea. And I got news, Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns ain't much of a match. It was at one time, but now fans aren't going to like it. Number one, they're both faces. Number two, Strowman's not as big as a deal as he was. People are going to go right back to that, oh, figures, here comes Roman back, and they're going to give him the belt. This is going to be a problem. Going to be a problem. So where do you go from here? What do you do? Mike, do you just let Goldberg sit on this thing, or do you just pass it over to Strowman and maybe pass it to somebody before Roman Reigns gets back?
Right. And the thing is that's the thing. How long is Goldberg going to be around? I mean, we talk about his contract all the time, and we think that after WrestleMania, he's done. Well, if that's the truth, then and he has the belt, and the match isn't going to take place or whatever, and he has the belt, then you're almost maybe forcing Goldberg to sign a longer-term deal, because you can't just have, unless they allow him to, quote, retire as a champion, and then have maybe a tournament to figure it out, you know. I mean, that could be a way to go.
They're going to have to find something, because Braun Strowman being the champion can be fine for the interim. But then you're staring down the barrel of a major pay-per-view where you're going to have Roman Reigns, if that was your plan, to have Reigns the champion. Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman, I don't think anybody wants to see it. So you're staring down the barrel of a dead main event. I don't necessarily think it's a good idea. So then you'd have to say, well, we're going to put it on Braun just to put it on whoever. And I don't know who that whoever would be. Who would it be? It's got to be a SmackDown guy. Otherwise, I'd say give it to Seth. Because maybe Seth and Roman would actually have some, you know, interest, but you can't. So I don't know. This is a major, major problem. And this is why you should never give the belt to people like Goldberg. You should never say, well, we're just going to, it's a very short-term thing, and you should never do it. If you don't have any confidence in the person you're putting the belt on, don't give it to him. Just don't give it to him. You knew Goldberg wasn't going to be around. You knew he can't do a match. You knew he blew it, totally blew it with The Undertaker in Saudi Arabia. And then what do? You reward him with the belt because, oh, this will be good for WrestleMania. And now look what it cost you. Now you're stuck. We're going to have to either give it to Braun Strowman, which is not ideal, or you're going to have to leave it on Goldberg, which means you're going to have to cough up probably a lot more money. I don't know, Todd. I mean, what's the best solution? Do you give it to Braun Strowman and just let Goldberg walk away from this? Or do you try to hang on with Goldberg? What do you do?
It's a tough decision here with this. Like you said, I wouldn't have the match at all. I would just postpone it and wait until the summer, until Roman Reigns comes back. Then you have Goldberg drop the belt to Roman Reigns.
So that would mean you'd have to keep Goldberg on the payroll. I just don't know. They painted themselves in a corner again, haven't they? I mean, whatever they've done, they've already done it. There's no turning back now. It's all been taped. And I've heard some things. But I don't know. It's not been out of the horse's mouth. So, A, if it was, I wouldn't report it. And B, because it hasn't come from the horse's mouth, I don't believe it. Anybody can get on the internet and say, guess what? Goldberg won. Guess what? Braun Strowman won. We don't know. Until I get it from a reliable source, and then I'll believe it, but I'm still not reporting it. But this is a tough decision for the WWE, and I think part of this decision has to be based on what is a realistic time frame for us to be able to get fans back into an arena. We need to know. And if the realistic time frame is August, then it is. Then that's what you're looking at. And if it happens earlier, great. But don't count on it happening earlier. Count on it happening later. In other words, if somebody comes to me and says, look, in the opinions of medical experts and everything, this all should be behind us and we should be able to return to life as normal and you should be able to go to Madison Square Garden and pack them in by June, then I'd say, okay, well, let's talk about early August doing this then, because then if anything happens and it's delayed, we still got a month window or more to work in. That's what I would do. Don't count your chickens before they're hatched here. We're still waiting to see. Here's the thing. The numbers on this virus can go down, but then when people go back out and that social distancing is no longer a reality, are we going to get round two? What I think the health professionals are hoping happens, and I'm not a health professional, so don't take my word for it, but what I think they're hoping is that this virus becomes weaker. Whereas you say, look, it's always going to be here. Just like the flu is always around. Every year the flu is around. But it's not a dangerous, deadly strain of it anymore. Now it's just, yeah, you might get sick. Well, you might get sick anywhere you go. You might get the flu anywhere. You could catch a cold from anybody at any time. So if it's no more dangerous than that, then life goes back to normal. And I think that's what they're hoping, is this thing sort of peters out and weakens and weakens and weakens as it goes through more and more machinations. And eventually it becomes just another strain of the flu where you feel bad for a couple of weeks and you go back to work. But that could be a year. That could be all the way into next year. We don't know. Now, what I will say is this. Absolute golden opportunity for the WWE, if they really want to show the fans, A, we do really care about you, and B, we are really trying hard to be creative. But here's what you have to do. You have to come up with fresh, innovative, creative ideas that, yes, involve some in-ring action, but also involves a lot of very, very interesting out-of-the-ring action. And it isn't saying, I know, let's just let a video game play by itself and have the announcers announce over it. You want to talk about lazy. How about this? How about you just fire all the wrestlers then? And that's, you can have that, you can do that. You can have your own little federation of, you just create wrestlers and we'll watch it on TV. That sounds great, right? That's award-winning idea. That's fucking great. That's just lazy. And that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, let's open up the goddamn creativity. Let's see what you got, WWE. This is where your writers got to step up. You know, like in the pandemic, the doctors and the nurses and the pharmacists, and to a different extent, the workers in grocery stores and things like that, step up by going into work. Well, now it's the writer's turn in WWE to step up and say, look, the athletes have carried this company with their in-ring expertise and athleticism. Now it's our turn to carry them when they can't do it. Now it's our turn to help those guys out. They've taken our ideas and, thanks to their athletic ability, has made it interesting. Now they can't do that as much. It's our job to carry them for a little while. Let's see if you can do it, because that's the mark of a good writer. That's the mark of a creative team. Not sure I got that much faith in them, though, Mike.
Right, and here's something else to think about. Here's two other things to think about. One, before they let Matt Hardy go, this whole the whole Woken thing could have been a godsend to the WWE, because you could have absolutely filmed a lot of that stuff at his house, you know, in Carolina, you know. Yeah, some of the stuff could have been filmed in different places, but a lot of, I mean, you could have handed it over to Matt Hardy and say, be creative and work with that. That's one thing that they screwed the pooch on there, you know. And again, there, some of these guys, the general feel with this thing, this coronavirus, is going to go away until you know, August, September, October. And all that stuff when the flu season starts. Now, what happens around that period of time? Well, what happens around that period of time is the WWE goes where?
They're not going. They're not leaving the country.
That's right.
They can't leave the country.
That's right.
I'll be very surprised, Mike, if they leave the country in any way, shape, or form. Because, well, I don't know. I don't know how long this will last. Maybe the travel ban will be off in a month. I don't know. But I will be shocked. Shocked if the WWE leaves the country for the next foreseeable, all summer. I will be very surprised if all summer, straight in through August and maybe September, if I just don't see it. I don't see it. Because, again, we're talking about the second, if today the powers that be got on television and said, guess what? We got a vaccine for this thing. Next week, everybody can go out and start living their life again. I'm still not running to the most crowded place I can find. I'm still not running into a, you know, a crowded phone booth with 40 people and saying, you know, let's all have cheeseburgers. I'm not doing it. Little by little, let's see how this goes week by week. Let's see how when people start returning to normal, let's see if there's a second wave. Let's see if there's a problem. Then I'll be cautious, and then we'll see. But I don't foresee myself going into major public events where I'm shoulder to shoulder with people I don't know for a good long time, maybe the rest of 2020. Maybe the whole rest of 2020. I just don't see it. Because why take unnecessary risk? Now, I'm not going to hold myself up in my house for that long. I'll go to the store. I'll go to places. But am I going to go to a crowded movie theater or a professional wrestling event or a concert where I'm shoulder to shoulder with people or, you know, bumping into people I don't even know? No, probably not. Not until I'm sure. And I think a lot of people are going to think like me. And I'm sure as hell not going to consider leaving the country, Mike. And I think that that would probably be wise for any business. And I think a lot of these wrestlers will feel the same way.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, of course, what's that going to do with how are you going to do NXT UK? You know, I mean, some of those guys have to be there to commentate. Well, I guess Nigel, whatever his name is, still lives there. So he could stay there and do it, and whoever the other guy is can stay there. But there are NXT UK guys that have come over here. Are they stuck here? Probably so, for the time being. You know, we've seen on NXT UK that they've had, you know, Walter and Imperium and others from NXT UK. Hell,
right.
That's where Rhea Ripley came from. Now, Rhea Ripley's here for the long haul, but, you know, and she's probably not going to go back. All the Australian guys, I mean, we know about Buddy Murphy. He's here for the long haul, so he's not going anywhere. But all the Australian guys aren't going anywhere. That includes Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, you know?
Right, and one more thing we have got to consider, and I hope that it doesn't happen. Certainly, I pray that it doesn't happen. But what happens if The Miz or Buddy Murphy or Dana Brooke or any of those people say, yeah, actually, I have COVID. I'm not going to die. You know, I'm fine, but I have it. Well, guess what? Then everybody's quarantined that they've come into contact with, which is a lot of people. Zack Ryder tweeted out some kind of a picture of himself and The Miz and Morrison and somebody else in their hot tub at his house with Chelsea Green and everybody. What now? Now they're all going to have to be quarantined. There goes your tag team champions. Oh, and by the way, they fought the Usos and the New Day, so they're going to have to be quarantined. So there they go. You could cripple the entire WWE if just one of these guys comes down with it. The entire WWE could be crippled, and then you aren't going to have any matches. You're going to have nothing. That's the risk of WrestleMania. That's what I want people to understand. The risk of WrestleMania, when Triple H says we have to do it for our fans, our loyal fans, your loyal fans are going to be totally without anything. If one person comes down with this, because it's going to mean mandatory quarantining for the rest. And a good amount of them are going to say, I had contact with him or I had contact with her. A good amount of them. Take last night for an example. Let's say one of those people, let's say one of the street prophets say, I got it. Okay, well, then the other street prophet, he has to be quarantined. Kevin Owens, he's got to be quarantined. Angel Garza, Austin Theory, probably Zelina Vega, Seth Rollins, they all got to be quarantined for 14 days, and then even after that, maybe. So what are you going to do, WWE, when your whole freaking federation's quarantined after WrestleMania, if that happens? So you got to pray it doesn't happen. But that's like, you know, closing your eyes and throwing a dart at the board. Is it worth the risk? Put it this way. If you got six rounds in a revolver, and well, let's just say you got one bullet in a six shooter, and somebody spins that freaking chamber, you're going to put it to your head and pull the trigger? Well, you have 5 out of 6 chance you're not going to blow your brains out, but, you know, there's 1 in 6 chance that you are. Well, guess what? I'm not going to do it. So let's say there's just a 1 in 6 chance that somebody gets it. You shouldn't be doing it. And that's not just coming from Marcus Kane. That is coming from a medical professional in New York City who said this is a horrible idea. Anyway, I guess we're getting a normal show on Wednesday night from NXT. That's what I'm hearing. We're getting the three-way dance with Keith Lee. We're getting some other matches. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm very curious to what the WWE is going to do Monday night. Next Monday night is going to be the show that really is going to tell us where the WWE is going to go from here, because WrestleMania will be over. And now a build-up for something else is coming. And if we get more of what we've seen the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's not going to be good enough. It's not going to be good enough, and you're going to see a lot of people drop off. And they've already taped most of it. If not all of it. I think they've taped all of it, because isn't Orlando now on a close-down thing where they can't tape? So I think they've taped it all. So we've already got Monday night tape. We've already got Friday after WrestleMania tape. We already got all that taped, Mike. And I don't know when they're going to do any future tapings. So they better really consider that they might not be able to do any tapings for a little while, and they're going to have to come up with something. And it's going to have to be something a little bit better than let's let a computer video game play out on a TV screen while announcers announce the match.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they got to do. Now, granted, this, we've said it before, earlier, that this is a great creative time. This could be a great creative time for them, you know. But will they take advantage of it?
See, this is the big thing, Mike. Can they turn a negative like this? And this is a big negative. Can they turn this negative into a positive? If they can, and they do, then the WWE, in my eyes, they've redeemed themselves. Because at a time when they really, really had their backs to the wall, they used their creativity to pull themselves out of this. If they can do that, then they've redeemed themselves for all the mistakes they've made, in my eyes. My faith that they can do that is about zero. Because when I hear something as absurd as we're going to let a computer game play a simulated wrestling match and allow professional announcers to comment over it like it's real, that is absurd. Anyway, everybody stay safe. We'll be back here on Friday with the AEW NXT report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.